Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. One of man's greatest honors and blessings involves God's invitation to worship Him as our Creator, our Heavenly Father, and the sustainer of this universe. I do not claim to understand it, but with all our weaknesses and sins, God Almighty wants us to worship Him, not because of any inadequacies in God, but because true worship makes us more like the one we worship. Jesus said to the woman at Jacob's well in Sychar, Samaria, "You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." John 4:22-24. Incidentally, the verb seeks is present active indicative and means God keeps on seeking true worshipers. Since God continually seeks human beings to worship Him, does it make any difference how we worship, so long as we are honest and sincere? The answer to that question can be found both in the Old Testament and in the New. Surely our Heavenly Father would not quibble over whether we sing in worship or play on instruments of music. As a matter of fact, a careful examination of God's dealings with men should convince anyone that God means what He says and says what He means. When He specifies what He desires, He eliminates all other items. For example, when God told Noah to build the ark of gopher wood, He excluded all other kinds of wood, even though the Lord did not say to Noah, "You must not use oak or pine or hickory." When God authorized vocal music in the church, He excluded instrumental music. If we want our worship to be acceptable to God, we must do what He says in the way He says do it. Is that a principle too hard for us to understand? Or do we just sometimes want our way regardless of what God's wishes are in the matter? During the days of the great prophet Isaiah, the worship of the Jews greatly displeased the Lord. Was it because they neglected to offer animal sacrifices, to burn incense, or to honor other feasts and festivals? God became weary of the worship of the Jews because of the way they were living. Please listen to Isaiah. "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I can no longer endure. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting." Isaiah 1:13. But every one of these ideas originated with God. He was the one who commanded the Israelites to offer animal sacrifices, to observe the new moons and the Sabbath days. So how could God reject their worship? The answer is very simple. They honored God on the Sabbath, at least they pretended to, but lived for the devil the rest of the time. That is the reason God called their offerings vain oblations and their incense an abomination. Isaiah added these discouraging words, "Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them." Isaiah 1:14. Is that not strange language coming from our loving Father? It may seem strange to those who have not bothered to study God's holiness. But God cannot endure insincerity, perversion of His law, and corrupt moral conduct. Nothing in the Old Testament or in the New suggests that worship will substitute for holy and righteous living. Clean hands and a pure heart are absolutely essential for acceptable worship. If we are not practicing pure and undefiled religion and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, our worship wearies God. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless and keep you.